morning, everyone. Nice morning. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer before we commence our preaching. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. O Lord, my Savior and my Redeemer. Amen. The story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 to 50 is the most beautiful portrait of all the of scriptures, except the account of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So it is a beautiful story of Joseph. So this morning, we can only deal with one aspect or one of its dimensions, and that is the mysterious working of divine providence in Joseph's life. Here the truth grows, not of the development of Joseph's story. I want to stress three key points on God's providence in Joseph's life. What are the three key points? First, the irrationality of evil. As we all know the story, Joseph is one of the most attractive characters in the Old Testament. His life offers a model that many of us might like to emulate. The virtues of wisdom, prudence, generosity, and forgiveness made him an ideal character to follow in his life. Today in our society, we would often call him the golden boy, or the kind of person most likely to succeed in life, or in any group or organization. He is the golden boy, or the blue-eyed boy, if you like to use it. Though Joseph was born the 11th child of 12 sons, his father, Jacob, loved him more than any of his 10 older brothers, because there was a gap between his older brothers and Joseph before Joseph was born. So naturally, his father was in his, you know, mature and old age when Joseph was conceived and born. And his father loved him more than his older brothers. And we all know the story of Joseph. The brothers were very jealous of Joseph because Joseph told his brothers that he had dreams. And those dreams that they would have to bow down before him. And then making them very angry and jealous. And those brothers and Joseph, they tend to the flock of sheep or goats for their father. And one day, while those brothers were out in the field tending to the flock of, sheep or goats for the father, they saw Joseph coming along, and they decided that they would harm him. At first, they wanted to kill him. They threw him into a pit. But later, through God's providence, they changed their mind. And sold Joseph to some merchant travelers on their way to Egypt. So they sold Joseph to some traveling merchants on their way to Egypt. And Joseph's life in Egypt changed. Those merchant travelers sold Joseph as a slave to Potiphar, who was a Pharaoh's captain, an important official in Pharaoh's, empire or kingdom. But Joseph found favor with his master, Potiphar, who put him in charge of his household. If you look at Genesis 39, verse 4, he became the head of the household, taking care of his household affairs. But one day, he resisted Potiphar's wife's sexual advancement. It was recorded in Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And of course, the story tells us the wife accused Joseph of sexual advancement, and he was thrown into jail. But while in jail, God was still with Joseph, because Joseph was a good, faithful servant of God. And while in jail, Joseph was impressed the jail warden so much that he put him to look over, in charge of looking after all the other prisoners. Genesis 39, verses 21 to 22. And then something strange happened. Pharaoh began to have dreams at night. And all his people could not interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. And they heard that Joseph was able to interpret dreams. So they summoned him to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And Joseph was so dazzled, the monarch, with his insight of his dreams, that he was put in charge as what we call today the prime minister, or the big treasurer, if you like, of Egypt. Genesis 41, verse 40. Despite Joseph's incredible attractiveness, Joseph's life was a series of calamities from the time he was 17 years old until he was 30 years of age. If you look at his life, first, he was betrayed by his older brothers, thrown in the pit to die. And that would have killed him if he was left in the pit up in the wilderness. But through divine providence, the brothers decided to sell Joseph to some commercial travelers as a slave. That was divine intervention. Joseph later was taken by those commercial travelers to Egypt, and he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, a high official to Pharaoh. And then Joseph was doing well in Potiphar's household. He was left in charge of his household. But then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Genesis chapter 49, verses 7 to 20. Left to languish in prison, he seemed to be forgotten even by those whom he had helped in time past. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. So, dearly beloved, why did a series of such unjust calamities befall on one who was so attractive? We call him in today's society as the golden boy. The answer is jealousy, greed by his older brothers, lust by Potiphar's wife, revenge and selfishness are those calamities that falls on Joseph's life. The sources of evil lie close to the surface for all of us to see. Joseph could not rebuff the dotings of an aged father, Jacob, or change the fact that he had grown up to be a handsome man with a handsome face, a handsome stature. Or disguise his brilliance in discerning the signs of the times. God gave Joseph a special gift, the ability to interpret dreams, even for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the monarch of Egypt. This was God's special gift to Joseph, a rich endowment in his life. Yet Joseph never spoke in prison about that he has this special gift to other prisoners. Sometimes God gives us gifts. We have to be humble. We have to use it to glorify Him and not to glorify ourselves. Like the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He was a great president. One of his greatest achievements is to bring the forces of the North of America and the South of America to be united as one nation. Not only that, President Lincoln abolished slavery even in today's America. They still have a lot of incidents happening between blacks and whites. But while President Lincoln was a great president, he had many enemies during his presidency, especially many close to him detested the way he conducted his presidency. They probably opposed his idea to abolish slavery. And they would always snipe at him during his presidency. Similarly, if we look to the scripture, supremely our Lord Jesus Christ He was a good man. God gave his son to come into the world. And he went out to preach, came from a humble home. Later on, at the age of 33 years of age, he went to the cross to die the most cruelest death, so that you and I can receive eternal life. Secondly, the tenacity of faith. In spite of many adversities in Joseph's life, he continued to cling onto his ancestral faith of his father, to his own covenant with God, and to the promises of the future. Moreover, Joseph was not swayed from his dependence on God, either by failure or by success. As soon as he was exalted in Potiphar's house, he could become cocky and succumb to the insistent seductions of his master's wife. But when he became Pharaoh's prime minister or treasurer, he could have lorded it over the Egyptians who had despised him. He could have taken revenge on those people who despised him. But when his father Jacob died, he could have sought revenge against his older brothers who had thrown him into the pit and later sold him to some commercial travelers traveling to Egypt. Joseph could have taken revenge on all his older brothers, the 10 of them. But dearly beloved, Joseph allowed neither cynicisms nor conceit to tarnish the purity of his faith. So this is something that we, as followers of Jesus, need to learn from Joseph. He did not seek revenge, neither cynicism to tarnish the purity of his faith. Instead, Joseph always sought the guidance of God. When Potiphar promoted Joseph because he saw that the Lord was with him, Genesis 39, verse 3. Even Potiphar can see that God was with Joseph. So this is something that as Christians, we need to have life worthy for other people to see that we are followers of Jesus. Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife's advancement, not because he might not get caught, or because he might betray his master, but because it would be a sin against God. Genesis 39, verse 9. When he could have tried to impress Pharaoh by interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph instead said, God gave me the answer to interpret those dreams. He did not say, I can interpret the dreams. But it is God who is the answer to Pharaoh's dreams. Genesis 41, verses 16 and 25. When he was in a position to condemn his brothers, he chose rather to reinterpret their treachery as a circumstance that God would use evil for good, for his own purpose. So, dear brothers and sisters, as for Joseph, faith in God's providential care always arises against the lashings of adversity. We have to stick to our faith, even when sometimes it seems there is no miracle happening, and somehow God is not answering to our requests in our prayer. Third, the vindication of God. When our story reaches its climax, Joseph declares that there are two ways to view the same very thing. One of the ways is how human sees it. The other way is how God sees the circumstance. Joseph's brother only saw what is beneficial to them when they get to selling their younger brother Joseph to some merchant travelers into slavery. But God saw that he had sent Joseph on to a saving mission to preserve life. Later in the story of Joseph, while they were having famines for 7 years, those brothers and even the father came to Egypt to buy grains. And because Joseph's position in Pharaoh's kingdom, he was able to supply them with the grains. Otherwise, they would have been starved to death. So, dearly beloved, providence means that God works in all things for good. Romans 8:28. Even in a pit and in prison, as in Joseph's case, if God could use going to the cross to do us good, God can certainly use the intention of evil to accomplish his purposes in our life. Jesus and Joseph found that to be true. What about you this morning? The vindication of God. You see, even the brothers thinking of doing harm to Joseph, and yet through divine providence, divine intervention, God was able to use that evil intention to make good for Joseph. So, dear brothers and sisters, we know that this is a wonderful story, and we need to know, as believers, sometimes when we continue to pray, somehow we don't see things happening, we get disappointed. But let us learn from Joseph's story the tenacity of his faith. In spite of the most horrible circumstances that befall on his life, yet something good came out from his life. And may the Lord teach us that we continue to cling on to our faith. And that is the strange providence of God that we can learn from Joseph's story this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. And we worship you. As your people continue to worship you this morning, help us to increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to know that we continue to place our faith in our Lord. Even though sometimes things, terrible things happens in our life, but you turn something terrible into something wonderful when we continue to cling on to our faith. Strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord. Help us to learn to have faith like Joseph. Thank you, Father. Even though that he continued to face many challenges in his life, and yet you preserve him. You continue to look after him. And likewise, we pray that you would continue to help us to increase our faith and place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.